This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
I'm Scott Hollinger, and I'm glad that we could have this time together. What are your dreams and hopes? What is your worst nightmare? Whatever it is, you don't need to be concerned if you have the one on your side who is all-powerful and your best friend. If you have found him, you're safe and secure forever. Today, we'll learn about someone who discovered this person and, as a result, experienced the transforming power of love in his life. And back with us once again to share this story is Edmund Speaker. Welcome back, Edmund, and please tell us, who is this person?
Well, with great pleasure. He started as the son of a fisherman at the Sea of Galilee. Actually, he was part of the family business with his father Zebedee and his brother James. Jesus was just starting his public ministry when he called the two brothers to follow him.
Ah, and as I recall, Edmund, John and James, the two brothers, were mending their nets together with their father. It was because they were fishermen, but they left their father and their nets immediately when Jesus called and followed him. So I would assume the person we'll be talking about is John, the apostle, yes, the writer of the Gospel of John, of the three letters of John and the book of Revelation in the New Testament. Well, Edmund, what really intrigues me is that John and his brother James left their father, family, and home, their business and friends, their security and livelihood, to follow the yet unknown son of a carpenter named Jesus. What would make them do that?
Good question, Scott. But let me ask you this. How can anybody who hears the call of Jesus not follow? Isn't he the promised Messiah, the Son of God, the Emmanuel, God with us, the seed of the woman promised since the fall of man? But you are right. It still remains a mystery to understand why some people hear and obey the voice of Jesus while others simply don't care. Jesus himself, in preaching in his days, would challenge his listeners by saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Many lose a lifetime and others eternity because they don't listen to Jesus. But John and James obeyed the Lord and followed. And by doing so, they started an amazing journey.
Edmund, my journey with Jesus started back in 1969 when I was just a boy. And wow. I'll tell you, that has been an amazing journey. Many ups, many downs, but more ups, and just been amazing to see how God's directed.
Yes, yes. Well, I better don't tell you how long ago my journey started. You may think that you have an old guy here. but I was still a child as well when I responded to the call. And I can testify that following Jesus is an amazing and blessed journey. I fully agree with the songwriter who says, "The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows." But following Jesus has its requirements as well. Jesus was quite stern to those who wanted to follow him experimentally. Listen to the following words of the Lord from Matthew 10:37-39. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it."
John and James were ready to let go of their family and follow Jesus, but were they ready to take the cross and even to give their lives?
Well, that's exactly the question we want to deal with today. We can work for Jesus, we can consider ourselves his disciples, but still stop short of understanding what true discipleship is all about. Even John and James went through quite a learning process before they got it. And other disciples went through a similar process as well. Thomas was questioning and doubting many times. Peter more than once put his foot in his mouth, trying to know better than his master. And then there was Judas, who would betray him. He had all along his own agenda and was even helping himself from the money they received. He definitely didn't apply the Lord's teaching. Now, What had John and James to learn?
Well, I wonder why Jesus called them the sons of thunder. And it's perhaps because they were so outspoken and determined to stand up for Jesus. I also remember when Jesus once had to cross Samaria and wanted to stay overnight in a Samaritan village. When the Samaritans didn't receive him, James and John asked Jesus permission to command fire to come down from heaven and consume that village. At the time, Jesus had to rebuke them, saying, "You do not know what kind of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them."
Let's take these three important steps of discipleship Jesus talks about here in the Gospel of Matthew and analyze them a little bit. There's first the willingness to love Jesus more than anyone. Second, the readiness to take the cross and follow Jesus. And then third, the willingness to lose one's life for Jesus. These three conditions are clearly calls for total commitment, or better, for surrender to Jesus. Jesus calls his disciples to be separated or set apart for him. That means literally to live sanctified lives. John and James left their home, their loved ones. That was not just a geographical, physical separation, rather a choice to put Jesus first and before anyone in their lives. They loved Jesus with all their soul. Second, the disciples lived in the days of the Roman Empire. At that time, foreign criminals were executed by nailing them to a cross. Those who were condemned had to carry their cross to the execution place. The Lord Jesus, while speaking of his own death prophetically, he also reminds the disciples that he is taking their guilt to the cross. He's dying on their behalf as the atonement for the sin of the world, because the salary of sin is death. On the cross, Jesus died for the sin of the world. So the disciple is asked to accept and to carry his cross, acknowledging that he died with Christ, that is, his old Adamic nature died with Christ. The Bible is very clear about this personal and revolutionary event that takes place when one puts his trust in Jesus. That person is born again, becomes a new creation, has a new identity, and therefore can follow Jesus in newness of life. His inherited and spiritual dead nature from Adam was nailed with Christ to the cross. At the cross, redemption took place. There, the sinner is set free to follow Christ. We need to know this reality and love God with all our mind for it. And then the third point, the greatest miracle of all that happens in the life of a disciple is the fact that the Spirit of God takes place in his or her heart. He comes to replace the self-life. When the Lord Jesus says that those who find their lives will lose it, he speaks about our self-life, or what the Bible also calls the flesh, the life we developed independent from him. Therefore, when he affirms that those who will lose their lives for his sake will find it, he's speaking about the total surrender of all I am in order that he may reign in my heart.
So the less of my self-life is active, the more of Christ's life will show in me. This is definitely more than just losing one's physical life for Jesus. This is really about the willingness to love him supremely above anything else, our bodies included, and to relinquish total control to the Lord.
Yes, and I remember the first Bible verse I learned by heart. At the time I was 6 years old. It is from John's first epistle, chapter 4:19. We love because he first loved us. In the end, it's all about how I respond to the love of God. John experienced a total transformation as he walked with Jesus. His trademark as a leader in the early church is remarkable. He is known as the Apostle of Love. John's love for Jesus was so intimate and so practical all the time. He called the early church, and he calls us to walk in love and in the light of God's forgiving grace.
Edmund, I'd like to thank you and wrap it up by saying that we often think of love as being fuzzy and sentimental, and oftentimes that's a puppy love or a love of being in love. And then when I think about the commitment that I make in my marriage, that's a different kind of love, because I'm committed to my wife on the days when we don't actually feel like we love each other, but the love goes much deeper. And yet What we're talking about here is about making room for Jesus to live, reign supremely in our lives and all our relationships. Friend, I hope you've been encouraged to do just that. Be someone who separates himself to live for Jesus. Be a leader led by the love of Christ.
This feature is a presentation of MemberCare Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.